Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited because we're going to be completing the book of 1 Kings. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comments or inquire if you like. Our host graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, lay not for yourselves treasure on earth, but treasure in heaven. For where your heart is, your treasure will be also. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Now the promise is that your treasure will be where your heart is if you focus on the right area, and that is from above. Jesus said again, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring it forth good fruit, for every tree is known by his fruit. That's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. Now, the promise is that every tree is going to be known, whether it's corrupt or good. And that is key to our having the correct way to go this side of eternity. Jesus said again, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. That's Luke chapter 6, verse 40. So again, the promise is that to be as perfect as your master, you must follow your master. And in this instance, we're talking about Jesus Christ. So the question for this hour is again, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, as I always do, I want to let all of you know again that the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we have come together this evening, my precious brothers and sisters, to study and learn together so we can break this code. Now, let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to 1 Kings chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verse 28 and 29. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you is Ahab's condemnation reduced by God because of his humility. Let's look at how this occurred or how the scripture identifies it. Now remember, we're looking at Ahab's condemnation reduced by God because of his humility. And this is what verse 28 and verse 29 of 1 Kings chapter 21 says. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Now, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. So that was the reduced condemnation, that Ahab would not immediately in his days see the evil that God was going to wreak on his family because of his disobedience. Now, let's go to Acts. We're going to look at the compliment. We're going to turn our Bible sources to Acts chapter 9. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 8, 9, and 17 through 20. And this is how the New Testament complements what happened to Ahab. Verse 8 says, And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9 continues, And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Verse 17 through 20 gives the completion of the thought. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received his meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So as Ahab received a reduced condemnation, Paul also received a reduced condemnation. And that reduced condemnation was to work for Jesus Christ. Now, we know that it sounds kind of ridiculous that Ahab received worse than what Paul received, but that is a matter of course, meaning the way that we look at the triumph of Paul in working for Jesus Christ seemed to be more than what the triumph of Ahab was. But remember, Paul, in the end, he also was killed, all right? So the point is that you can repent, and that will give you a reduction or a remission from your sins. And that is key for you to know, my precious brothers and sisters, and that repentance comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go to chapter 22. Again, this time we're going to be looking at verse 15 through 18 in chapter 22. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. You know, Micaiah's prophecy against Ahab. Now we're going to read the prophecy to Ahab, and that is 1 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 15 through 18. And this is what it says. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. I see that we're at our first break. Let's take our first break, and then we'll return to the study.
When we're laying on our deathbed, you're not going to worry about how much money you had, how much power you had, how much prestige. You're going to see that that was all game, that that was all an illusion. The only thing that's going to matter is the impact you had on other people's lives.
We are all on a separate journey. But the beautiful thing about our life here on this earth is at my funeral, they ain't going to talk about my success. They're going to talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives. You've developed people. And you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart. And all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror. And life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are. When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at Micaiah's prophecy against Ahab. And we're reading from 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 15 through 18. This is what it says. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, say, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills. Okay, my brother, we continue.
You're the Holy One, I'll praise you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, pardon us for the interruption. There was a disruption that was beyond our control, but we're back on. Listen, we're in the instruction, Micaiah's prophecy against Ahab, and we're reading 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 15 through 18, and this is what it says. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And this is what happened with Micaiah's prophecy. And it was because Ahab was disobedient to God. Now listen, let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see in the book of Acts. We're going to go back to the book of Acts, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 21. Turn your Bible sources with me to Acts chapter 21. We're going to read verse 8 through 14, and we're going to get a comparison from that prophecy to this. This is Acts chapter 21, verse 8 through 14. And it says, And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready to die, to be bound only, no, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, The Lord's will be done. So in this instance, this prophecy of Agabus is similar to the prophecy of Micaiah. It wasn't as good as you would think, but yet Paul had to respond to it as Ahab had to respond to it. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible source back to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 19 through 23. Verse 19 through 23. And this is what it says. I want you to keep in mind this instruction before I read the text. The lying spirit sent to Ahab. And this is what it says about that lying spirit. And as a reminder, you know we're in the book of Kings, and the book of Kings gives a scenario of many different kings of Israel and of Judah, and it follows a chronological order of events that occurred. And in this instance, we're talking about Ahab and the lying spirit. And this is what it says in chapter verse 19 through 23. And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? and one said on this matter, and another said on another matter. And there came forth a spirit, stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all of these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. So that was what the lying spirit did. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to see in Romans chapter 1 the complement to this instruction. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 18 through 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. And this is what it says. It says, verse 18 beginning, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
I want you to know today the tremendous power is available to every single person. That power is prayer power. That power is the ability to move mountains out of the way. There are many storms that come our way, but God has given us the ability to ward off every storm of life, and then when the church prays, something takes place. Too little is spent in prayer, and too much time is spent in talking about the problem. If people would just start to pray and stop talking about the problem, we would see phenomenal things take place. People need to worship more. You need to take more time not going to God in prayer. Oh God, Lord, we've got this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem. Forget about your problems. Go to God and just begin to worship him. Begin to exalt him. Begin to extol him. Begin to call him by his names. Talk about his greatness. Talk about how awesome he is. Talk about how mighty he is. And talk about your problems. Talk about how big your God is. Talk about how awesome your God is. I want to challenge every single one of you to write down everything about how great God is. And when you go to him in prayer, spend all of your time just exalting him, just honoring him, just lifting up his name. Spend very little time talking about the problem. Just go to the book of Hebrews and go read all of the people and just say, you're the God of this one. You're the God of that one. You're the God that brought the three Hebrew children through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of Daniel. The God of David. The Bible says he will perfect that which concerns you. I've got news for you. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. God didn't bring you out of all what he's brought you out for him suddenly to let go of you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy as he would try to whisper to you, God's not for you. God's against you. That's a lie from hell. I got news for you. God is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. He's on your side. God's grace comes to even those that have not been faithful. God's grace has come to even those that have really not walked the way that they should walk. And yet his grace and his mercy is extended to every single person that will believe him, that will come, that will humble themselves under his mighty hand. So he's the God of a hundredfold blessing. He's a God that causes you to increase in the time of famine, in the time of drought, in the time of storm. He's the God that makes a way where there is no way. He's your peace. He's your joy. He's your righteousness. He's your redeemer. He's your savior. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your king. Somebody said, what God do you serve? That's the God that I serve. Worship him. Open your mouths and give him glory. Open your mouth and honor him. Let your voice be heard. You know, if you just take a half an hour and begin to do that, instead of even bringing up what you even came for in prayer, you begin to worship God. What does the Bible say? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. You begin to worship God, and then God begins to flood your life with his very presence. You better get ready, because God's about to do great things for you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with this instruction, the lying spirit sent to Ahab. We read about how that played out in Kings chapter 22, verse 19 through 23. Now we're looking at the complement. This is what Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 says that complements it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, meaning man, because that which was known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now we're going to go to chapter 28 and hear more. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And verse 32 completes the thought. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So as far as the lying spirit goes, we know that the reprobate mind is how God is infusing that into those who are disobedient. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. If you are not obeying the word of God, then you're going to be obeying the word of the world, and you're going to think that that is okay with God. And, of course, it is not. Let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to 1 Kings chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 33 through 37 this time, verse 33 through 37, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Ahab dies in battle, okay? This is telling us how, because of all of the things that occurred to Ahab through his disobedience, he is going to get killed during this particular war. Listen to what verse 33 through 37 says. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned their backs from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at eve. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went up a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Now we're going to go turn our Bible sources to the book of Acts again, and we're going to see the complement to this in the book of Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 19, and we're going to read verse 17 through 21. And listen to the complement here. This is showing a comparison to Ahab's death in the Bible. Verse 17 of chapter 19 of the book of Acts says, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also, dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, when used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in his spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must see also Rome." This is telling us that there was a battle as Paul was venturing on his way to Rome. He was faced with many, many different obstacles, and that was his battle. But in the end, he was to be in Rome because of the word of God, and that's where he ended up. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Acts chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 39 through 40. And what I want you to do is keep in mind that this is what we're going to read about, the acts of Ahab. And this is what it says about the acts of Ahab. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahasuerus, his son, reigned in his stead." Okay, so now we know that it has been identified that there are books or materials that the writers in the book of Kings and in the writers in the book of Chronicles and the writers even in the book of Samuel, they drew from the information that was written in these acts and constructed a scenario for our Bible today. And that's the reason that I'm mentioning this book of Acts, okay? Now I see we're at the next instruction, our next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
There is a constant battle for your soul going on all the time. You see, your soul is important to the devil. He wants your soul. He'll pay any price. And some of you are selling your soul so cheaply. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil will give you the whole world if you'll follow him. But some of you will follow him and he won't give you anything. You're just following him because you're like the pig that's following the man that's dropping the beans, going to the slaughter pen. Every little bit he drops a bean, and the pig goes following right along. And you don't even think that you're following the devil in the wrong direction. Yes, Jesus Christ is the highway to heaven. But be aware, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he said.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 39 and 40, and we just read about the other material called the axe, which has in it the performances and what these various kings did. And now we're going to go to our complement. We're going to go to John chapter 21, and the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because of the extent of the material that has been written about characters in the Bible that is so voluminous that the Bible itself can't contain it. And this is what John chapter 21, verse 25 says, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And the point is that there is more information than we can handle that is written about Jesus and that is written about the other biblical characters. And we can be assured, though, that what has been contained or what has been canonized in our book, the Bible, is enough for us to receive the salvation that is required through Jesus Christ to get to heaven. That's the point I'm making. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Back to 1 Kings chapter 22 again, verse 41 through 44. And what we're going to do is look at Jehoshaphat. This is the instruction. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And this is what the Bible says about that. And this is what it reads. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhah. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burned incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. So it tells us right at the end where Jehoshaphat was the king of the tribes in the southern part of Israel. And Ahab was the king in the other half of Israel, the northern tribes. And so you can see that the acts of all of these kings as was compiled. And I would tell you that we have lost that material, but we still hold to what our canon tells us about it, that the material did exist. And we can see that Jehoshaphat, he acted according to what his fathers, and it says here that that's what pleased God. Whereas the kings in Israel, or over Israel, they acted according to what their fathers did, and we know that that did not please God. And that's why those particular tribes are still lost this day in 2023 and are known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Now what we're going to do is we're going to, again, go back or make We're going to go to Revelation chapter 21. Turn your Bible sources with me to Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to read the complement to this king of Judah. Revelation chapter 21, and it's verse 3 through 5. And this is going to tell us that in the end, that all of these tribes are going to be brought together, and there's going to be one that's going to be over them. And this is what chapter 21 in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 tells us. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be to, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So my brothers and sisters, what this is telling us is that there will be no more two kings, or there will be no more two divisions in God's house. There will only be one house, and God the Father himself will present himself as the head over that. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. In fact, this next instruction is similar to the one that we just read about the Acts. It is telling us about the Acts of Jehoshaphat. Again, it's in Acts chapter, or it's in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 45 through 50. Let us read what it says, and then we'll comment further. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. It says, well, let me go and retract that. I need to start with verse chapter 45. I'm sorry. Chapter 45 is what I should have, verse 45 is where I should have started the read. And this is what it says in verse 45. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might, they that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father, Asa, he took out of the land. There was then no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezem-Geber. Then said Ahazar, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. So again, this is just giving more information on part of the acts of Jehoshaphat that this writer thought that he should write. And we know that we're talking now about the kings of Judah, which were not the kings of Israel. And so let's again look at the compliment. Turn back with me, if you will, to John chapter 21, and we're going to read exactly what we read before. I think it's pertinent to the fact that we know that there is much more material than what we have here presented to us in our canon, and this substantiates it. And it says in John chapter 21, again, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So again, what it's telling us, my brothers and sisters, is that there is much more material that we have that is possibly available are not available. And we do know that some, just like what we're talking about in the Old Testament, the Acts of these kings is no longer available to us, that we could read and see how and why these writers drew from this material and only put what they put in to our canon. But we do know that there's a lot of other material that's written that can be a benefit to us that we should consider in our study of the Bible, more especially the commentaries that have been written on most of the Bible and the concordances that have been written. That's all good material that we do still have access to. And I would commit that to your study, that you would use that during the study of our canon. Okay, I see we're at the last break, and then we'll continue with the study.
Hear this, an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from you. David says that he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children to ask him for great and mighty things that we know not. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of addictions that enslave our families, to pull down the strongholds of abortion and pornography, to pull down the demonic forces that are destroying the government of the United States. So what does he hear from our lips? Oh God, watch over the parakeet and water the grass. Let me tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you are talking to Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. The blast of his nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big, that God slides out of his chair and sits on the air and says to the angels, did you hear what he said? Asking for things that are impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray, pray, pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. You are made in the image of God. God is not a statue. He speaks, he thinks, he talks, he feels our infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. Pray. God is in heaven saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a tough decision? Ask of me, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Do you need peace that surpasses understanding? Ask, 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 for nothing is impossible to those that believe. No good thing will he withhold from those that diligently seeking. Do you need the impossible? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith, believing. You're not talking to the President of the United States. You're not talking to Bill Gates. Both of them together can't control their next breath. You're talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He uses gold for asphalt on the streets of heaven. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He'll give you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible to you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to be wrapping this up. We're looking at the last instruction for the book of 1 Kings, and let's go to chapter 22, verse 51 through 53. And this is going to tell us Ahasuerus, son of Ahab, reigns over Israel. So in this last version, or this last production or construction of the writing of the first book of Kings, is telling us about Ahab's son. And if you remember that when we started this study tonight, we read that God humbled, because Ahab humbled himself before God, God would not take take the kingdom away from Ahab before, you know, he died, but he would take the kingdom from his son. And so this is getting ready to tell us about Ahasuerus. And this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 51 through 53. If you turn your Bible sources there with me, this is what it says. It says, Ahasuerus, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. Now that's the way it concludes the thought and the writing in this book. Now, what it says about Ahasuerus, it says that he did exactly what his father did, and his father and all the other kings of Israel, for the most part, did exactly what Jeroboam did in the beginning. And the reason that it provoked God to such an extent, and where it says he served Baal, is because there were calves, molten calves, that were constructed for worship in Samaria. And there was another part of northern Israel also that they did worship the calf. And what Jeroboam did, he was the one that started it. Jeroboam did not want the people of Israel to go back to Judah or Jerusalem to worship because of the split of the kingdom. And the way that he constructed it, that he made in Samaria, the northern tribes, a new temple, if you will, a new covenant. And so that's what angered God immensely, to the extent that God actually dispatched with those tribes. And I mentioned to you earlier that they are considered to this day the 10 lost tribes of Israel because of God's anger, because they were worshiping a false god. And it says here, Baal. All right? And so that was the reason for this writing, or this part of what the writer wrote. Now what we're going to do is go to our compliment. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Colossians. And it's going to tell us about today, how we have to be very careful what we do, because we could be straying from the truth, and that will anger God and cause us to become just like the northern tribes of Israel. In fact, you know, in our kingdom of Christianity, this side of eternity, that there are so many different practices, and you have to be very careful that those practices are according to the canon and not according to doctrine. And this is what Colossians chapter 2 is going to tell us, and this is Paul warning the Colossians at this time about that. And listen to what Paul says in verse 4. He says, and I say this, and this I say, any man should beguile you with enticing words. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, what verse 8 through 10 says. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Jesus Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. As we complete the study for this evening, my precious brothers and sisters, what I want you to realize is that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are the perfections of our faith. And that's where we should concentrate our effort and application of our effort in what thus saith the Lord God Almighty, what the Son, the kingdom of the, and the patience of the kingdom of the Son says, and what the Spirit says to the church. When we follow other individuals for whatever reason, and mitigate, they can give us a different understanding of what we shouldn't be doing, and that's what's so critical. So as, you know, I close tonight, I'm telling you that the Bible, the canon that we have, is the one that you should follow. And the rest you should take with circumspection. That means tongue in cheek. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, as we get ready to close out tonight, the host and I, we thank you for taking time and blessing us with your listening ears, and those who have called in and chatted in the chat room, thank you for doing that, and please continue. And we ask that your participation, that it continues, and we are casting off tonight. God bless, and we will talk to you at the next appointed time. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.